Let's get everybody back to their seats. Thank you very much. Wonderful job. Okay, now you're sitting there thinking that we had the children sing so that you can see how adorable they are. And you certainly saw that. But actually, the children sang because the sermon you're about to hear was built around that song, Father Abraham. Now, the last time I did this, built a sermon around a song, was about 12 years ago. On a Saturday night, I asked the worship team to help me build a service around Noah built him an archy-archy. So it had the same level of theological complexity to it. But the Noah song, if you know it, is very straightforward. And that's not the case for today's song. Even though you heard it and it sounded very simple, Father Abraham is shrouded in controversy. Now, months ago, let me give you a little backstory. We decided we wanted to start using part of our children's Sunday school time for the kids to sing, because kids love to sing, the adults love to sing, and we had a great time putting together a list of the songs that all of us older folks remember. And when we got to Father Abraham, I planned to teach the kids the version I first learned, which was Father Abraham had 7 sons. Now, when I started looking into it, I found several versions of the song. One of the ones that I decided wasn't quite right was Father Abraham had 7 sons. 7 sons had Father Abraham. You are one of them, and so am I. So let's all praise the Lord. And you know, we're big on affirming all gender identities, but I didn't think we should have all the kids singing, "You are one of Abraham's sons, and so am I." That could start a whole nother thing. So I started looking at different versions. Many of them said 7 sons. So I decided to do the responsible thing before teaching this to the children and determine whether Abraham actually had 7 sons. You know what? He didn't. If you look closely at the scripture, Abraham had 8 sons. Now, why would a children's song teach the children that Abraham had 7 sons if he actually had 8? I started looking into this. Most of the answers agreed on several points. First, they suggested that the person who composed this song chose 7 simply because of the alliteration with sons. It would be easy for the kids to learn 7 sons. Second, some people suggested that the composer already had a melody in mind and needed a 2-syllable word there, so 8 wouldn't work. Third, they suggested the words didn't mean anything at all. The actions were designed to tire out the kids so the Sunday school teachers could get a rest. But when I came to the 4th possibility, I was deeply troubled. Another possibility is that the song intentionally leaves out Abraham's firstborn son, Ishmael. Now, to clarify why that upset me, let me go back to last week and remind you that Abraham had been told several times by God that he would be the father of a great nation of many children, but it wasn't happening. So Abraham's wife, Sarah, decided to set things into motion. And she said to Abraham, and this is from the book of Genesis, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abraham agreed to what Sarah said, and so Abraham slept with Hagar, Sarah's maidservant, and she conceived, and in due time gave birth to a son, Ishmael. Now, at the birth of Ishmael, Abraham was 86 years old. 13 years later, God appeared again to Abraham, renewed the covenant When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I'm God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully. I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. And Abraham fell face down and laughed and said, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, because this made sense to him, he already has a son, Ishmael, by Hagar. He says, if only Ishmael may live under your blessing. This is Father Abraham asking for a blessing on his son Ishmael. And God said, yes, there will be a blessing on Ishmael, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him a great nation. Well, after many adventures and misadventures, Isaac was finally born to Abraham and Sarah. And oh, after Isaac was finally born, Sarah wanted to be rid of Hagar and Ishmael. Now again, I urge you to read the whole Abraham story, but for our purposes today, Abraham and Islam, I won't go into it too deeply. Just suffice it to say that as Isaac grew older, Sarah became more and more jealous of his place. She ordered Abraham to get rid of that slave woman Hagar and her son Ishmael. The book of Genesis tells us that the matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son, Ishmael. But God said to Abraham, don't be so distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you because it's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the slave into a nation also, because he is your offspring. Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. Now, our Christian scripture is pretty much done with Ishmael after that. So how do we understand that Abraham was the father of Islam through Ishmael? Our story sends him off. Because there is another story, a parallel story found in the Quran, the holy book of Islam. Listen to the parallel story. In the Quran, in Surah 37, Abraham is depicted as, and we talked about this last week, contending with pagans who worshipped many idols. Abraham destroyed their pagan idols. This is from the Quran. For which the pagans rose up against him, but God brought the pagans low. And Abraham sought refuge in God, one God. Abraham prays, my Lord, grant me a doer of good deeds. And his faith in the one God, not the idols, but in the one God, and this is a new thing, his faith in the one God is rewarded, for God speaks saying, we gave Abraham the good news of a forbearing son. And the forbearing son is Ishmael. The Quran tells us that the prophet Abraham has a crucial role in Islamic belief and practice. The Quran refers to him as a friend of God. Heard that before? The Quran also refers to Abraham as the father of prophets. Muslims believe that He is one of the ancestors of the prophet Muhammad. Indeed, you cannot be a true Muslim without acknowledging the central role of Abraham. The prophet Muhammad and his companions believed in Abraham as the founder of their faith. Muslims regard the prophet Muhammad as the last in a series of prophets. Now, you've got to listen carefully to this. Muslims regard the prophet Muhammad as the last in a series of prophets, including Adam, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus, all of whom appear in the Quran. The central role of Abraham is indicated in many ways in the faith. Muslims are required to pray 5 times a day, and in every single prayer, they are required to ask God to send his blessings upon the prophet Abraham and his family. Even more importantly, the direction in which Muslims pray in Mecca is facing a building, a particular building, which they believe was built by the prophet Abraham and his son Ishmael. Here's a passage from the Quran that I want to quote to you just as it appears. The Quran instructs Muhammad and his followers to say, "We believe in God and in what has been revealed to us and what was revealed to Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, Jacob, and the tribes, and in the books given to Moses, Jesus, and the prophets from their Lord. We make no distinction between one and another among them, and to God do we bow our will." Now, this is not to be a lesson in comparative religions today. There's so much that we couldn't cover or hope to cover. But you did see all the interlocking places, right? And so as I start to move towards the end of this, I want to share what is possibly the best known story of Abraham. It's difficult to hear. It's horrible to think about. But here it is, a defining story for both Jews and Christians. Sometime later, after the birth of Isaac, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love." And we're just going to go back a slide. Or we're going to confuse people. Oh, thank you. All right. "Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac," this is from the Bible, "and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Y'all know this story, right? "Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him 2 of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him. On the 3rd day of traveling, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. And he said to his servants," because he had to get rid of the witnesses, "stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the 2 of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. And when they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham, here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." The angel of the Lord called Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." It's a terrible story. A testing, jealous, submit to me only God, ask a parent to make the ultimate sacrifice. For the purpose of this morning, let me remind you that this is not a story God has told us about God's self. This is a story that humans have given us about their struggles to understand who they are in relation to God. And this tough, terrible story doesn't belong only to Christians and Jews. Listen again from the Quran, and here's where the slide is. In Surah 37, I told you Abraham is depicted as contending with pagans who worshiped idols and the stars. Abraham destroyed their pagan idols, for which the pagans rose up against him, but God brought them low. And Abraham sought out refuge in God. Abraham prays, this is in the Quran, "My Lord, grant me a doer of good deeds." And his faith in the one God is rewarded, for God speaks, saying, "We gave him the good news of a forbearing son." The forbearing son is Ishmael. And then, you won't believe this, from the Quran, God reveals to Abraham in a dream that he, Abraham, must offer his son, his only son, in sacrifice, except, of course, the son referred to is Ishmael, because in Islamic tradition, Isaac's not even born yet. In verse 103, Abraham tells Ishmael, his son, his dream, tells him that God has called him to sacrifice his son. And Ishmael, hearing this, offers his acquiescence. "Oh, my father, do as thou art commanded. If Allah please, thou wilt find me patient." These words are the only words in the Bible or the Quran which are attributed to Ishmael. "Oh, my father, do as thou art commanded. If Allah please, thou wilt find me patient." So if you parallel the two, Abraham and Ishmael are both prepared for the ultimate moment when dramatically God intervenes. And the ram is seen caught in the thicket. And as a reward for his obedience, it is revealed to Abraham in verse 112, of the Quran, that he will have another son, Isaac. The same story, the same father, different sons, Remember, it is not God telling us the story. It is human beings telling us about their experience of God, telling us what it feels like to reach for God. The story of Abraham and Sarah tells us what it's like to struggle with trusting God. Trusting God to care about us and to bless us, especially when it seems like there's no way. The story of Ishmael confirms for us how difficult it is to be a parent. What was Abraham supposed to do? He had these two sons. He loved them. His wife did not love them both. The story of Ishmael confirms for us how difficult it is to be a parent, to love our children more than life itself. And God forbid, more than God. I know we're not all parents, but there are nephews and nieces and siblings and spouses and pets that save our lives. I don't believe that God wanted Abraham to sacrifice his son. I certainly don't believe that God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son. What I believe happened is that Abraham and 100 million others just like him struggled with, who is this? What is this that tugs so relentlessly at my heart and at my spirit? Is this God? It must be God because it's stronger than anything I've ever experienced here around me. It's overwhelming. And its pull is so relentless that there's hardly anything I wouldn't do to surrender to it. Abraham struggled with that. Whether his struggle involved his son Isaac or his son Ishmael, I don't know. But the struggle was there. To whom do I submit my will? And is that being worthy? That story does not belong to Christianity or Judaism or Islam. It belongs to the human race. I'm not saying that Christians and Muslims worship the same God. People lose their jobs over saying things like that. But I am saying that we have very similar experiences of God, that we add our stories to the stories of generations of human beings, then attempt to make sense of it all, and we can't, and we never will, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't try. Here's the thing. We are not writing new stories. We are writing down the evolution of stories. Abraham was told to go. In Abraham's understanding, he was seeking a blessing. Humans seek to go beyond, right? We travel to continents we haven't known. We go west. We travel the seas farther, faster, and greater comfort. Disaster befalls us. So we travel to crushing depths to experience it for ourselves. Adam and Eve wrestle with submitting their will to God, to something bigger, something vast, something unknowable. Noah wrestles, Jacob wrestles, Jesus wrestles. Take this cup. We wrestle. We share our story. When we share our story, may we not share the story of a God who smites and punishes, but of a God who creates and cherishes. We should not be people who smite and punish on God's behalf, but people who create and cherish. Whether we call ourselves Christians, Jews, Muslims. We are people who tell shared stories about what it's like to reach for God and what it's like when God reaches back and blesses us. people who speak the name of God in our own language according to our own beliefs, who say in response to the leading of God, like Abraham did, I'm ready. Here I am, I'm ready. And how do we know if it is the voice of the true God that calls us? Well, it sounds like love. Amen.